Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're glad to be with you today. And if you have been blessed by this broadcast and you would like to contact us and let us know that it is a blessing, you can do it through WMAF and they'll get the message to us. And if WMAF is a blessing to you, don't ever take that community-based, family-friendly hometown radio station for granted. We had one here where I live. I pastor in Tampa, Florida, but I live in Plant City, and we used to have WPLA. It was our community radio station, and when they closed that station, it's just never been the same. It was personal. It was our station, and it had news from our community, and you could see the DJs in the grocery store, amen, and talk to them personally. They were home folk, and we're just grateful to be part of the broadcast family here on WMAF. If this station is a blessing to you, let them know. Call them up. Write them a card. Just drop by sometime and tell them, you know, I appreciate your programming, your format, very unique, classic country music, classic gospel music, and classic gospel preaching, as far as I'm concerned. There are other fine ministries right there in Madison that broadcast over WMAF. And if this broadcast in particular has been a blessing, tell them about it. Tell them that you appreciate the ministries that are here to bless you and help you to maybe understand and apply the Word of God in your own personal day-to-day life. Praise God. We'd be glad if you'd come to our website. There's a place on it that you can leave a message for us, and we would be happy to hear from you. So if you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG, THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God Incorporated, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International, in good standing since 1974. Praise God. So come and visit with us. And there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. There are sermons, over 1,300 sermons that span going on 41 years of ministry here. And there is just a lot of good music, good Bible helps, testimonies, just everything is designed to be a blessing to you. We want to be a blessing. That's why we are on the air, and we would be glad to have you come. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, as we study the subject, the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. Hallelujah. Listen to the Word of God today. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it, or as it pleased him. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." You say, well, Pastor, that's an Old Testament scripture, Old Covenant stuff. Yes, but we are dealing with the same God in a different dispensation of His grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, but the very same God. And in His dealing with the national covenant people, the nation of Israel, we find His heart for the personal things that He wants to do in the life of His children this very day in the 21st century. Are we not the clay in His hands? Is He not still the potter? Amen. Isaiah, as we said last week, I want to read it again, 64 and verse 8, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thine hands. We talked last week about the clay. The clay must be available. I made a statement then, and I'm going to make it now. We are only clay. That's true, but we are clay in His hands. This is the glorious hope. And we talked about the preparation of the clay for the potter to mold it and make it. The clay must be softened. But then, this week, we want to talk about a little bit of a tougher part to receive. It's the clay not only must be softened and prepared, the clay must be cured. In the final phase, the potter takes the softened clay and he shapes it, but then it must be cured. So he puts the soft clay that has been fashioned into a beautiful, useful vessel, into a furnace, to harden it, to give it the permanence and enduring qualities, so that it will not lose its place as a vessel of honor. Someone said to take everything that we have and everything that we are and put it in His hand and hand it literally over to God is not easy, but it can be done. And when someone dares to do it, God can make anything out of your life. But you have to give everything to Him in order for Him to do it. Praise God. Amen. And we know what He's working toward. We have it very clearly stated in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Now I'm going to read verse 28 first, because this is the most familiar part of this scripture. I call it the knot at the end of the rope. When you get at the end of the rope, end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. This is the knot. And it says, "For we do know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." Verse 29 distinctly declares His purpose. "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son." I like the Amplified version. It says, "molded to the image of His Son and share inwardly His likeness." You see, the pattern and the model for all that God is doing in His church is to make us more like Jesus. Hallelujah. The fivefold ministry is given that we might become more like Him, that we might grow up, the Scripture said, into Him who is the head, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. This is God's grandest design and desire in the life of a believer. And that's why we need the kind of dedication that will allow Him to work and achieve His purpose in our life. I want to read a verse of Scripture about this dedication that is so essential to allowing God to work, to free the Holy Spirit to accomplish that He has predestined for every one of His children. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Listen carefully. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." That word conversation is not just your speech, it is your behavior. It is our lifestyle. Friend of mine, I want to declare to you today that the Christian life is a positive allegiance to Jesus Christ. It is becoming so occupied with Him that the values and standards of the world around us have little influence over us. And I believe the missing element in many Christians today is the lordship of Jesus Christ. The challenge of this portion of Scripture is to give evidence of our salvation by demonstrating a changed life. I want to give you the bad news first, statistically, from a not too distant Gallup poll. We're not doing so well in that area. He found that the majority of Americans say religion is very important to them. 7 out of 10 Americans are church members. 2/3 of Americans, however, hold the view that the level of ethics in America has declined during the last decade. There is seeming paradox between the loss of ethics and the increase in church interest. Very little difference is found in the behavior of the churched and the unchurched on a wide range of items, including lying, cheating, and pilferage. There's a wide difference found in the behavior of the highly spiritually committed compared to those less spiritually committed. The committed show a much higher level of moral conduct using the various means of the study. Only 10 to 12% of the population are what the Gallup poll calls highly spiritually committed. The report indicates that they are a breed apart from the rest of the populace. They are more satisfied with life, happier, and more involved in helping others. The majority of church people, those less committed, fall in the category of nominal Christians, and their ethical behavior is little different from the unchurched. This means that if the level of the country's morals and ethics is to be brought up to the level of religious interest, then the churches must do a better job of strengthening their people's commitment. The obvious truth is that not a great deal of difference exists in the attitudes and activities of many people who are professing Christians than those who are not. There's bad news here, and that is that there's a lot of uncommitted Christians that are not highly spiritually committed. The good news is that there are those who are highly spiritually committed. And that there's a definite move of the Holy Spirit. There is a call of God that is clarion and clear. Come out from among them, the Scriptures declare, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This is not holier than thou. This is not self-righteous. This is not being condescending and looking down on others. We all know, except for the grace of God, there go I. But there is a distinction made in the children of light from the children of darkness. And we're called to be a separated, committed people unto God. Hallelujah. I pray that part of this study's challenge to you today, if you're a Christian, is to become highly spiritually committed. Because these highly spiritually committed will stand in distinct contrast to the apostate church of the last days and the world condition of the last days. General William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army, gave warning of great spiritual danger to the Christian church many years ago. He said the danger is religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Ah, friend, today God is calling you and I to become part of that new breed of highly spiritually committed followers of Jesus Christ. You know, the criteria for following Jesus is very simple and yet very demanding. It demands everything. Because he said, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He is the pattern. He is the model. And he is what God is wanting every Christian to become more like. Praise God. And so verse 13 said to gird up the loins of your mind, literally to brace up your mind. We need to prepare and equip ourselves mentally to cooperate with the new nature, both to grow and to go according to the promises and directions of the Holy Spirit, the very promptings of the Holy Spirit. Gird up the loins of your mind. We talked last week about letting His mindset be our mindset. So initially, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. In biblical times, people wore robes in order for them to run or to move more quickly. They had to pick up the back hem of their robe, pull it between their legs, and cinch it into their belt. The robe then no longer flowed, but rather the clothing was like a pair of pants, and they could run and move about freely. This custom helps to understand God's instructions to the children of Israel in Exodus 12 and verse 11. God told Israel to eat the Passover meal with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Why? Because He wanted them to be ready to get out of Egypt in a hurry. They prepared to move quickly and easily by girding up their loins. This vivid picture calls us to remove everything that will be a barrier or hindrance to moving easily and effectively when the Holy Spirit prompts us, and He's prompting us and challenging us through the Word of God today. Amen. We need to be ready to move with God, because friend, God is on the move. He's calling a people out of the world unto Himself to keep us safe and secure in these very dangerous days that we are living in, called the last days or the last of the last days. Amen. Listen, friend, Satan builds his strongholds in the mind. He knows if the spirit is regenerated and the mind is renewed, transformation is going to come. Therefore, the word mind is a fascinating word in the original Greek language. It literally means to think through. In other words, we should get everything out of our lives that impedes our ability to think through any situation guided by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Some characteristics and emotions that will interfere with our ability to think through every situation are worry, fear, jealousy, hate, the lack of forgiveness, bitterness, impurity, and there's so many other things entering in that can choke the Word of God. To gird up the loins of your mind means to remove those hindrances that keep us from thinking impartially and spiritually, being literally led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And transformation occurs as we behold, as in a glass, in the Word of God, His face, the Scriptures declare. We are transformed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Friend, Romans 8 and verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. The Amplified New Testament calls the carnal mind sense reason without the Holy Spirit. Too many Christians have experienced regeneration. That means you've been born again without transformation. That's why the Bible said in Romans 12, I'm going to quote this again from last week, Romans 12, amen. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need a new master of our will. Verse 14 says, as obedient children. It's a compound word in the original language that comes from the Greek words that mean to be under and to hear. They describe one who is hearing under, or one who hears his master, as one who is under authority. He hears his master's voice from a position of submission. See, friend, Christian liberty is not lawlessness. Many of us have this problem. We want to hear what God has to say, but we want to hear it so we can negotiate and debate whether or not we're going to obey. Here's the principle by which we are to live as obedient children. Each Christian bears the Master's command as one who is under His authority. As obedient children, not fashioning in ourselves after the world about us, not letting the world press us into its mold. Upstream Christians in a downstream world. I believe we're in desperate need today for a resurgence of commitment to live a life of obedience. I believe today we are in a desperate need in every Christian life for Jesus to be the absolute Lord and Master, so He can keep us safe in this very, very dangerous time that we're living in, this perilous time. We need a new emphasis on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We must become radical in our approach to following Jesus totally. I'm telling you today, amen. I have problems with my flesh, and I'm convinced you have problems with it too. But here's an area I don't have a problem with, and that's where Jesus should be and where I want Him to be in my heart and in my life. I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to be my Master. I don't want Him to be my Savior and Lord. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. Praise God. Someone has said, and I really agree with this statement, enthusiasm is easier than obedience. Obedience is the key element in the Christian experience that allows God, by the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to both build and direct us. Because we will be different from the world about us. Peter declared, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. The word fashioning appears only one other time in the New Testament, in Romans 12 and verse 2. And that same scripture that I quoted to you, once again, be not conformed to this world. The emphasis is outward action resulting from an inward change. The Holy Spirit makes a difference in our lives. We have been saved, having received this salvation, and we're not to fashion our lives according to the world as we did before we were saved. The word conformed brings to mind a masquerade. If we fashion ourselves according to the way we used to be, then we assume the same posture that does not reflect our true being. We assume the posture of an unbeliever, which does not reflect our belief in Jesus Christ. And this wrong posture has children of God assuming habits and mannerisms and speech and behavior of the world, out of which God has saved us and out of which He is now calling us. Oh, friend, praise God. Amen. This holiness that we are called to, this purity, is bringing us into a place where the potter can take the clay and make the clay that He has purposed it to become. For whom He did foreknow, Romans 8, verse 29, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's where God's Spirit is leading you, leading me, calling us out, sanctifying us, washing us, cleansing us, purifying us, so that His purposes can be realized in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for the challenge today. Amen. I'm so glad that God is not done with me. He's not done with you. Hallelujah. This is an adventure in the Holy Spirit. This is an adventure with God as He shapes and molds and uses everything that touches our life to cause us to become more like His Son. And when we are so surrendered to that purpose, we will recognize that everything, without exception, is subject to God's eternal purpose in our life. Therefore, everything is working together with that purpose for good. Our good and His glory. Hallelujah. I said our good and His glory, because we are called according to His purpose. Well, our time is very, very fleeting today. In fact, it is almost gone. But friend of mine, today, if you're a Christian and you are on the potter's wheel, don't jump off of it because of the things touching your life to cause you to become more dependent on Him and to cause you to see the world as it is, something that is transient, passing, and to see the kingdom for what it is, something that is eternal and unchanging, that you might live your life as a highly spiritually committed child of the living God. Hallelujah. That you might be separate unto Him in your values, your morals, your absolute behavior, because you are marching to the beat of a different drummer. We are in the world, but Jesus prayed that we would not be subject to the evil one, the influence of this fallen world. Amen. You're in it, but you're not of it today. You belong to a different class. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus today, this is the day that you need to accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. He's coming for a saved and separated people today, called the church. You know what church means in the Greek? Ecclesia. Ecclesia is the Greek. It means called out ones. Everyone that is part of the church of Jesus Christ. Every saved man, woman, boy, and girl is called out from this world and out of the darkness of this world into this glorious kingdom of life and light. Ah, it's time for the called out to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord, I pray today that you will come out from the world and come in to the kingdom by receiving Jesus right now, right where you are, as your Lord and your personal Savior. And let Him become the joy of your soul, the delight of your heart. Ah, friend, make that commitment today. Repent of your sin and receive Jesus. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?